Welcome to a new year. As we think about this being the beginning of a year, there are new beginnings that we have, but also, of course, the continuation of life as well. And it's interesting how it may connect to what I've chosen to talk about for the next few weeks. I noticed a couple of weeks ago that I was scheduled to be the teacher of the first 2 months of the quarter, and I hadn't really thought that much about yet what I would be talking about at that time. And I really hadn't made any definite plans even as of last Sunday. But as I was sitting here last Sunday, and I really wasn't even thinking about trying to come up with a topic, but just this came into my mind. The idea of talking about our heritage, talking about who we are, and talking about our legacy. Now, again, if you think about it, our heritage would be where we've come from, would be our background, would be what's been passed down to us. There's ways that I envision this progressing over the next 9 weeks. We're this time doing January and February, so I believe there'll be 9 weeks for this class. I don't have all the details laid out yet, but I have general plans of where we'll go. You know, as I was thinking about this, any quality that I might think of would be our heritage would be in our early stages of life, if we want to make this comparison. In the first 20 years of our life, our heritage really determines a lot about who we are during that time. We're born into certain families, and as we're born into that family, we're born into certain congregations, and as we're part of that church or that spiritual heritage, we will take on some of those same qualities. So in the first 20 years of our life, it's things that have been passed down to us. And say in the early and mid-adult years, 20 to 60, we might say, that's in essence who we are. We're establishing ourselves and who we stand to be. The principles we stand on would be who we are. And our legacy, we could think of that in terms of, this third one I've kind of debated about how to call it. I've said our legacy for the sake of being easy to consider. But it's also our future. In a sense, we've got our past, our present, our future. We've got our legacy, how we will be remembered, what impact we will have on the future. These are some of the things that we'll talk about. And yes, are we talking about spiritual aspects? Absolutely. Is the spiritual piece of this the ultimate part that we're talking about? Yes. I didn't write spiritual in each of those because I think there's a value in considering who we are as a person. Physically and other aspects of our life too, and we're not looking to eliminate those. We're looking to include those in the conversation where appropriate, but also it's really about our spiritual heritage, about who we are spiritually, about our spiritual legacy as well. So what I would see this as it develops is taking about 2 to 3 and maybe 4 weeks if necessary, but probably 2 to 3 weeks, talking some about our heritage, taking 5 to 6 weeks to talk about who we are as people, who we are as a congregation, who we are as members of a Church of Christ as well. And then the last week talking about our legacy as well. So as we get started and continue to move forward, again here I just have another way to phrase that, how we'll begin is the idea of at least thinking about the idea of heritage. These are some ways. Now, there's other ways we could think of heritage as well. But as you're born into a certain family. That family and the background that they bring to you has a lot to do with who you are in your early years. I say early years, but is there a great impact on who we are in our later years? If you think about it, some of us, who we are today is really based on what family we were born into, what spiritual strengths we had as we grew up. But others of us have moved away from our heritage and have embraced other values as well. So some of us, we all come from various heritages, and right now we've joined together in a congregation. So as we've got, you know, we'll probably have about 25 to 30 of us typically on a Sunday morning, maybe including visitors as well. One of the things we'll talk about is our own personal heritages and then how they combine together too. I've mentioned their ethnic and cultural heritage. Historical, the time period we were born into has a great impact in terms of our view of the world, our view of life. Occupational, I've put there. You know, if you think about in years past, most people who were born, well, I say most, I mean, 150 years ago, our nation was an agrarian nation. Many people who were born as farmers. Okay, now we're born into many, many different occupations. But in many ways, the occupation of our parents has an impact on occupations that we will take on as well. And then there's the spiritual side. We'll get more into some of these as we go about it. But as we talk about heritage, a couple of definitions that I've included with this. And there's more than this in the dictionary, but these are two that are the appropriate ones that we'll use for this class. Something possessed as a result of one's natural situation or birth. That's what we're talking about as we speak about a heritage. Something that's handed down from the past. Now, the example that was listed there was traditions. Something that's handed down from the past. I didn't go ahead and write the word tradition. I can briefly mention it. Of course, traditions can be a good thing. They can be a negative thing as well. So whether we consider traditions to be from the positive perspective or from the negative, traditions are a part of what our heritage is as well. You know, there's a couple of passages. Actually, there's about 29 passages in the King James Version, at least, that had heritage in them. I thought I would just mention a couple here to get our minds thinking about those as well. You'll notice we've got from Psalm 119, "Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." The way this one is used, heritage isn't necessarily, I've been using it so far in the idea that's how we were born into a situation, that's kind of our background, our heritage. It can be a background, but it also can be something that we embrace later in life as well. Here, it's not necessarily something taken from birth, as you think about the psalmist who wrote this. "Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." And then Psalm 127, verse 3, "Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Children being a heritage there as well. Now, you'll notice I've come back to this, what I had up there a moment ago. Here we're going to spend a little bit more time developing some of these. We're into the, first we were kind of introducing the idea, then we got into the very basics of heritage itself. I'm going to spend a little time on historical. And we'll probably hit on a variety of these this morning. But as we think about historical, and we're thinking about kind of the personal aspect of life as well as spiritual. But as I look around us today and I think of situations, well, I'll start this way. You know, as I was born and growing up, I can remember people who were born in the 1890s. I don't know, I probably knew some who were born in the 1880s, but I couldn't really guarantee who they were. But I could definitely tell you some who were born in the 1890s. As I look around today, there are very, very few that are born in the 19-teens. There are still a few around. Not in this congregation and not here, but there are a few who were born in the before 1920. But in general, I mean, my mother was born in 1929. She's 87. So that's an example to be born in the 20s. But now, about the older people that we know are going to be people who were born in the 30s. And among us today, we have at least two that were born in the 1930s. There may be others. Those are two that I think of at least. Dwayne and Luanna were born in the 1930s. Anybody else here born in the 1930s? So as you think about them, as they were born in the 1930s, as they were growing up, they grew up in the 1950s, we'll say. And there was growing up in the 40s as well, and Luanna can probably remember the 40s. Dwayne, too, by the end of the 40s, can remember that. Probably, I mean, Luanna can remember World War II, some aspects of it. A little early maybe for Dwayne in that sense, but the 1950s. As we think about them growing up in the 1950s, probably in general a little bit more wholesome environment as a nation, a different sense. The point I'm making in terms of historical, as we think about those who among us now are the older ones, as they were born into a different time, they're going to have somewhat of a different perspective, a different heritage. I come along and was born in 1967. So for me, the latter half of the 1970s, through the 1980s were formative years for me. That's kind of how I relate. That's the base. That's my baseline, if you will. People who line up tonight to be a part of the Bible drill were born after 2000. For them, they're never really going to connect back to the 1950s. They're not going to connect to the 1970s. I'll tell you a quick story on Nora that got a kick out of when I had her in class a few weeks ago. We were doing different songs, and one night I decided to do the song, It Only Takes a Spark. Okay, that's not one that they've ever sung up here, I don't think, but you've heard the song before, It Only Takes a Spark to Get a Fire Going. I said, this is kind of like a campfire song. And Nora said, well, that's an old song, isn't it? And in my own mind, the way I'm starting to respond is, well, it's not that old. If you compare it to our songs of the Red Book, those are old songs. You know, I'm starting to think this isn't very old. And she said, that's probably back from the 1990s. And I'm thinking, well, it's long before the 1990s, but it still isn't very old. But that, to me, helps to get the idea of the heritage that they are going to grow up in is going to be different. I think of, for instance, and right now, still continuing with heritage and spiritual things too, I think of Mike Rogers and his family. Taking that example, for instance, as I grew up going to church with Mike's grandparents. And now, if you think about Mike's grandchildren coming here, if you think about the church, his grandparents were born in 1901 and 1901 and 1909, I believe. He's got grandchildren that were born in 2008, 2010, in that area. So we're talking about 100 years later. The church 100 years ago, as compared to now, or the church in the 1950s that Irvin and Alice were very much a part of, his grandparents, the church in the 2050s, which Mike's grandchildren will be very much a part of. How is the church different? How is it the same? Well, in many ways, you just take that family, for instance, and you take our families, any of our families, a spiritual heritage will continue to be passed down. Are we going to be teaching the same gospel? Are we going to be reading and studying from the same Bible? Are there going to be many, many things that are very similar? And I believe the answer is yes. But yet, is there going to be a very different situation too? I believe so. The world that Mike's grandparents grew up in is different than the world his grandchildren will be a part of. Is the church going to be different too? The church will be different in some ways. I think of back in the 1920s. I remember hearing of instances where a lady cut her hair and was almost turned out of the church for cutting her hair. That was something that in 1920 was considered to be that we had the Roaring Twenties back then, right? Wasn't that an issue that was going on? My mom talks about I don't know exactly when, but probably in the 1960s, women in general always continued to wear dresses. What she would say is, at least where we were, it was in the early 70s that girls at school started to wear things besides dresses. Now, were these issues in the church too? Probably so. So just thinking of that as something that if somebody walked into the church today that was alive and died 50, 60 years ago, and they were to listen to sermons that we gave, and they were to come in and see us, there are going to be things that they see that are very, very similar to what they were used to, but there are going to be some things that may shock them too. If I go into the church in the 50 years from now, if I were to die today and go into the church 50 years from now, would I be able to see things that I very much agreed with and felt very at home with? Yes. But also, are there going to be things that I would think is strange? And I think the answer is yes too. There is a heritage, there is a continuation as we pass along. Some things will change and will be appropriate. Some things, if we change, will not be appropriate. Those are just some of the things for us to consider a little bit. I'm going to pause and see if there's any participation someone would like to give. And right now, we've talked mainly about the historical aspect of this. The time frame that we're born has a great deal to do with our view of life, our view of church, our view of what God expects of us. how we should live as a Christian? Comments, thoughts?
I'm pretty sure in different regions, different areas, different things were considered one place taboo and another place not. One of the things that comes to my mind as a young kid, and we had to drive about, I don't know, it took us about 30 minutes or so to get to church. And I can remember driving past a Church of Christ building on our way, another Church of Christ, and I can remember my mother whispering, almost not hardly able to hardly say it, "Those people eat in the basement." Well, at that time, I think our congregation, generally, in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter there, where it says, "Don't you have houses to eat in?" Well, I'm pretty sure we took that as, that's where you didn't eat at the church building, you ate at home. And so I'm just saying, different areas, maybe even in the same region, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that continues today, too.
That's the same thing still happens.
Those who choose not to eat in the church building or basement. So that was a heritage that was a part of your youth?
It's just something I remember, you know, my mom talking about. Almost whispered it, you know.
Mike?
I think the thing that we need to, you know, you made a statement about, will the church be the same? Well, the church, the true church, is always the same. The challenge is for the Christians to determine what is scriptural, what is not, what is to be observed and held to as a matter of doctrine, and what is just some tradition that maybe people have started, like the Pharisees started all those traditions. And the challenge for true Christians is to keep the church pure and the worship pure.
Right.
And that should not be different in any part of the world. The true church won't be different in any part of the world, as far as doctrine and as far as worship. Things like, you know, physical things like what you do with the building or what time you meet or things like that, you know, those are different.
Right. Dwayne?
Thinking back over my many, many, many years that I've been living, I remember, we remember when Harps won, all the men sat on one side and all the ladies sat on the other side. Now, down at Flat Rock, when I was born down there, the way we solved that not eating in the church building, we had a table built between two trees, and we had a basket lunch outside in the yard. You know, it's just those different things.
So, in both, as the elders, both of the elders of this congregation now were growing up, it sounds like that was an issue that was, people didn't eat in the building. But there were ways to solve that. That was the heritage you were born into. And now many who were born into our congregations don't even really think of that as being an issue. Okay? And that's probably similar to what Mike is saying. That's a tradition that is going to continue. Let me rephrase that. That's a tradition that I guess you could say can easily change and not change the form of the worship at all. But the challenge is to really be able to understand or distinguish between what is tradition and what needs to be held.
It's like the scripture that says, "Well, Jesus will come back. Will he recognize his own? You know, well, he'll recognize the Christians because they practice Christianity. They have his name and they practice what he taught them, and that's what we need to be concerned about." And I say that, you know, the Bible says that, you know, wherever Christians are together, they are the same. And, you know, the different, whether you talked about eating in the building or meeting at the middle of the day or the morning or the afternoon or those kinds of things, you know, that's not things that you find written down in the Bible other than being on the first day of the week.
But there are those that are going to take some of these issues very, very, very strongly as well.
Yeah.
And they're going to see it as an issue.
The challenge is some people want to make some things spiritual and some people want to make spiritual things different. And the challenge is defining which is what.
That's why that scripture that you put up there in Psalms 119, 111 said our heritage is the testimony of God. Your testimony is our heritage. So that's what Mike is saying. That's what we've got to hold on to. God's testimony.
God's testimony. Very much. Other comments or thoughts? You've heard for three or four. If there's anybody else that would like to make some comments on that, you can be welcome. We'll move on to another area of this, but if somebody wants to continue to talk a little bit about the historical and come back to that, that's fine too. Thinking about family. Now, there's lots of ways we could talk about the heritage that we're born into with the family. One that I might focus on for a little bit might deal with conscience. There are different consciences that we have about different issues that are often formed from the heritage that we had as we may have grown up. I mean, just take an example of Christmas, considering Christmas has just been here. And I don't plan at this point, at least, to spend a lot of time with that topic. But if a person just walked in off the street last week, and it being Christmas Day, was expecting to see great Christmas celebrations, it really wasn't even mentioned. Now, there are reasons we do and don't do that. Of course, what we find is in the Bible, there's really no instruction for us to make sure that we celebrate Christ's birth. But I'm not even talking about, as we do this, I'm not even really talking about the idea of how the church may or may not commemorate Christmas at all, but just as families. There are some families that want to stay totally away from celebrating Christmas because of some of its origins. And I'm talking, when I say some families, I'm talking about families in the church. And there are some families that, while we may not do anything with it at church, definitely celebrate aspects of it within their home. Now, conscience level, each family, and that's basically how many of us leave it, is we leave it up to families to decide how they want to participate in or not participate in things. But again, a lot of that is the heritage that we may have grown up in. Of course, then we establish our own heritage with that. But the main thing I'm talking about for the moment is conscience. I just selected Christmas as one aspect of that. But the conscience that you have may have been formed by the heritage that you were a part of. Any other idea that you may have on something else relating to conscience, or whether it be Christmas or other conscience issues, and how that may relate from the family? I'll just make a few more comments, and you can continue in a minute if you'd like. It's similar to what Mike said earlier. Here, the idea of traditions, you know, he had said that the true church stays the same from generation to generation, which is true. He was saying then that things that may change would be things that really may have been a tradition at one time. That's at least part of the summary of what he might have said. I don't want to misrepresent what he said either. You could relate that to conscience too, I think. Number one, our conscience can change over the years. My conscience can be different than your conscience on certain issues. But I guess the point I was going to, as I started with this, is it's hard to sometimes distinguish what are matters of conscience and what are matters of teaching from the Bible. Just as it can be hard at times to determine what the difference between what are traditions and what are true teachings from the Bible. Sometimes we can distinguish between our conscience and what we find in the Bible. Often what we find in the Bible helps to form our conscience, but we need to also recognize that that is our conscience, and others can have a different level of that and still be spiritual and scriptural as well. Other comments on family heritage, whether it relates to, to conscience or not.
Kevin, you said something about our conscience can change, and I guess that's right away. But you know, we should always be true to our conscience. But if our knowledge increases, then we might be able to see a difference in something, you know, in our lives now. Something that we may have thought was right or wrong in the past, we might understand it different now. But you can still be true to your conscience.
Yes.
You know, so I guess that's...
Initially, I think you
should always, you know, as long as if we're righteous, I mean, our conscience should be our guide, part of our guide, as well as the Word of God. But if we, you know, we're told if we think something is wrong and we do it anyhow, then we're condemned.
Right. Our conscience certainly...
wrong by Scripture.
Right. Very much. Our conscience certainly isn't our only guide. The Scripture becomes our guide, but conscience is hopefully formed by Scripture,
right.
And therefore, because some of the issues that we will face in life, some of the decisions we will have, there are no direct answers in the Bible, but we would take the principles of the Bible along with our conscience to make those decisions in the best way we can. Dwayne?
Yeah, Mike brings up a very good point, because the older I get, the more I realize that we have to keep strengthening ourselves, encouraging ourselves, growing in the Word, which means we have to be reading the Bible and doing in-depth, not just reading, but doing in-depth studies of the Bible on our own. And I'm sure that those things have a great effect on my conscience as I go along, and that's the way it should be. It should be changing all the way until we're gone.
And by continuing to read, obviously, these things are fresh on our mind, where they may not be if we weren't doing so. Again, we could take the idea of family, the family heritage we have, in a number of ways. As a matter of fact, I'll just connect it with some of these for the moment and offer your opportunity to speak as well. Obviously, the culture that we grow up in, the part of the world, you know, as we, our view, Mike had said that the church is the same, the true church is the same no matter what part of the world we're in. And I would agree with that. At the same time, I know those who have gone to other parts of the world, those who went to Ghana, for instance, there, I don't think they had any church buildings, at least the ones that the Christians that they were worshiping with. They met outside. As you go to different parts of the world, there are certain things that they may do that we wouldn't normally do at all, that they may not have even heard of or thought of. So I would certainly agree in principle that the church is the same wherever you are, but there are differences that are probably present as well, at least among the people, among the practices. So, I mean, the culture, the area that we grow up in, as American Christians, there's probably some things we view slightly differently than African Christians may or other cultures as well. When I think of, we already mentioned a little bit about occupational aspects. Now here, this doesn't necessarily relate to spiritual things, but certainly, I mean, I think of, at least in the case of Mark being a principal, he's got two sons that are now principals or assistant principals, and we could probably go along the line. There's lots of us who end up kind of following the same career path as our parents. There are many of us who don't as well. But our view of the world, you know, I mean, take Ben's family as Ben's growing up, as his kids see him going in the medical field and their mother in the educational field, these are things that they may tend toward. Doesn't mean that that's where they'll end up, but often we may tend toward where what we know as well on the occupational side. Dwayne, did you start to have a comment?
Meetings on Saturday evening. I believe that's right.
That's
where I think we would be. I would be kind of hesitant. You know, I mean, I feel like that it needs to be after midnight.
Because in their culture, basically, the evening, I mean, after sundown is when the next day starts. Correct, in essence, mm-hmm. Or so in that culture, that would be the first day of the week.
Yeah, probably. After 6 would be the first day of the week. So, I mean, that one kind of gets into a little spiritual. I mean, you know, that gets into where I would think that God was jumping the gun on it.
But you know, I agree with that, but because you know when we're told when the Bible talks about when Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week when it began, you know, when it began to dawn early in the morning, it talks about that being the first day of the week, and we know that's when we are to partake of the endless. We're to remember Christ's death, and you know, it doesn't say anything about the Jewish day. I mean, I know the Jewish day started after 6 p.m. during the time of Christ. But when the church was established, you know, did that change those things?
That's what I mean. We get into a cultural, spiritual context.
Right.
Sometimes.
It would seem that probably all Jews, or the majority of Jews, would feel comfortable doing that. Correct? In that culture, without question, that's... So it would be a matter of, if you were in Jerusalem, whether you would do what the Jerusalem people do. The saying is, when in Rome, do what the Romans do, or whatever. In this case, whether we would take the conscience of the Jews, or if we didn't feel comfortable with that, I can see how we might not do that as well. Other comments or thoughts? Okay. Well, and that's it. As we talk about this, what I'm looking to do, for instance, next week, I have the sermon. And with the sermon, what I'm going to do is talk about the heritage of Churches of Christ. As we are born into the world today, as Duane was born in the 30s, as, you know, I was born in the 60s, as the younger children are born now in the 2000s, we're born into... And all of our families are part of the church right now, or at least this is where we're attending. And so we are a part of a heritage. How is this heritage passed down? What are the Churches of Christ based on? So my sermon will be on the heritage of the Churches of Christ. And in the class tomorrow, in the class next week, what I would like to do is make it more of a personal type thing. We all come with our own heritage. It can be on some of the... What I'd like to do next week is open it up, and I'm going to ask any and all who wish to say something to feel free to do so. If someone chooses not to and doesn't feel comfortable speaking about any of this, that's fine with me too. But to me, what I find valuable about this is probably, as we've got about 25 to 30 that will typically be a part of this class, I probably have a sense of what the heritage is of 15 to 20 of you. But there's probably 10 or so that I really don't have a sense of. Not that I need to have a sense, but I think that's how all of us probably are. As we look around, there's people we have a sense of their heritage. There's some that we don't really have a sense. If you don't know about the heritage of some, then you might find it interesting to find out more about it. And that's kind of what I'd like to spend, and it depends on how much time that takes. What I would do is, in general, ask you, all of you, as you go home this week, to think about your own heritage. And if you could sum it up in 1 minute, what we're going to do is kind of, if it takes you 10 seconds and that's all you want to say, that'll be fine. If you want to take a minute and talk about your heritage. Now, that heritage, you can speak about it only from a spiritual perspective if you want. The heritage doesn't even have to touch on spiritual things if that's not something that you're comfortable talking about publicly. But taking some of these ideas, thinking about your own spiritual heritage, your own heritage, it may include the spiritual side. To me, there's a value in this because, yes, we come together as a corporate body or as a combined body to worship, but yet we're also all made up of individual heritages. The more we know about each other and our heritage, I think there's a value there. It can help to connect us. It can help us to connect to each other. It can help some people to connect more to the church or the body itself. Now, let me just be reminded, as we are dismissed here, sometimes I teach in other congregations, sometimes in the class, is it 10:10 or 10:15?
10:10 is when
you're
ready now.
10:10, okay. That's, and
we try to have a 10, then we try to take the break between 10 and 15 after, and start again at 15 after.
Oh, okay, we start at 10:15 the next part. So we've only got a couple of minutes then. I'll just open that back up then. Is there any... Well, so what I'd like for you to do is think about this. Next week, then, I will open to give you kind of an example. Hopefully we'll get lots of participation. If we do, great. If, again, we come to you and you'd rather not say anything, that's certainly fine as well. But to me, there'll be a value in that. Any comments, thoughts, questions? Got about 1 or 2 minutes left.
I was thinking when you were talking about the conscience. Certain that we're all in the same category. When we get to that transition point when our conscience used to be bothered by a certain issue, and then we begin to think, well, you know, I guess that's really not an issue, you know, or shouldn't be an issue. That transition point between changing your conscience over to another way of thinking is always a struggle or a difficulty, and I don't think it hardly ever happens overnight. I think it's kind of a gradual process. And I suspect we need to think about that when we talk to other people